Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two, WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday on Victory Tuesday. Yeah, it's confusing, but it's the NFL calendar. Get used to it. You should get it by now. Patriots beat the Giants 33-15. We are basking in the glory of the NFL's only 11-win football team. The coach of the year favorite, the MVP favorite. Ah, hell. It's good times in Patriot Nation right now. It's also a good time to do some three-point stances.
319! Ready!
Just count three.
That's three!
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good!
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
John Tip scores! Ties it 3-3!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident or you're tap dancing till the quarterback calls, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. We're doing this a little bit differently because our Drake May interview is up in the air right now. But Nick Fitzy-Stevens, you are going to lead us off for today's three-point stance. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Unlike Jaren Duran, I do not mind being thrust into the leadoff spot. Let's party.
Ooh, okay.
Cheap shot.
Oh, but a worthwhile one, and that's secondary because here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know, honestly, it feels like we're back in our favorite shoes, our most comfortable jeans, the best sweatshirt we own. That's right. The Patriots are top dogs in the AFC East and the AFC overall. But nothing is guaranteed beyond possibly a playoff spot at this point. And if you, like me, want to see your New England Patriots get a bye, if you want to see your New England Patriots in the best position possible to succeed, then I would like to welcome you back to temporary ally season. That's right, because the enemy of your enemy is your ally each and every given Sunday along the path to the postseason. So, for instance, this Sunday, Patriots fans, because you're playing the Buffalo Bills in 2 weeks, and you'd like to make sure that the Buffalo Bills are as far away from you as possible in the AFC East so you can reclaim the crown that they took a couple years ago from you, then enjoy rooting for the Cincinnati Bengals because, hey, who doesn't love rooting for Joe Burrow because they'll be on the road this Sunday in Orchard Park. The Steelers are playing the Ravens. We'd love to see the Ravens get beat up on a little bit more. Maybe have them miss the playoffs overall. Go ahead and root for the Steelers for a little bit. Root for the Raiders to beat the Broncos? It's impossible, but at the same time, it's fun to do because rooting for other teams in the face of the Patriots getting the top spot is a fun pastime, especially on a bye week. Feels good to be back.
Root for the Steelers? Is that like Courtney Cox? I heard them giving her a hard time that maybe she was.
Well, she was at the game, like doing, like posing, you know, baby posing on the sideline with some friends. I don't know. Who knows who Courtney really roots for?
I believe, though, well decked out in Steelers garb, though.
I think she was, which kind of caught me off guard. Like that wasn't a look like and swipe. That was a look and oh. This is interesting. Anyway,
you understand
what I'm saying though, Andy? Like now,
sure.
Now that we're this close, like you have to like root for other teams quickly. Like I'd love to see the Chiefs not make the playoffs. So you root for who are the Chiefs playing this week? The Chiefs are playing the Texans. Ooh, that's a tough one because the Texans, see, Do you want the Chiefs to win because you feel more comfortable against them? Or would you like to see the Texans bleed a little bit? Or you want the Texans to take care of the Chiefs?
I don't want to face either of those teams in the postseason, so just beat the snot out of each other. That's okay. What I want. And that's there what I go. Really want all these teams to do. Obviously, there'll be some rooting interest specific one way or the other.
Yeah, you know. Bengals-Bills is the most obvious, but at the same time, if the Bengals make the postseason, then
I don't want to play. I don't want to play Joe Burrow after he's rattled off six in a row to make the postseason coming from the ashes or whatever the hell
it
will be.
I'm not putting it past him, by the way. Possessed he looked on Thanksgiving night? No.
So I think the best part of this isn't so much rooting for a specific outcome, but realizing there's a lot of competitive football games to be played by all the other would-be contenders, pretenders, playoff seeding. And it's why, beyond the Patriots, you know, quote-unquote soft schedule, a couple more wins theoretically against the Jets, although they're kind of winning some games now, and Dolphins also kind of winning some games, is the fact that all these teams are going to, I feel like they're all going to punch each other into like a stupor, and you're going to kind of just sit back and sit atop the standings with your lead. For example, Dan Ball, maybe you can check this. I believe the Bills-Patriots game is a hat and t-shirt game. If the Patriots sweep the series, win that game, they will indeed be the AFC East champions. Like, let these other teams, let Joe Burrow beat up on Josh Allen's Bills or vice versa in a shootout and tire them out and just sit back in your bye and then show up for your final four.
It is a hat and t-shirt game, by the way, because even if the Bills win Sunday, they'll be 9-4. You'll be 11-2. You beat the Bills at home, you're 12-2. They drop to 9-5. What a way to make a living. And then at that point, like, you'll have two games in hand over them in the AFC East. Yeah, that's a hat and t-shirt game.
So, yeah, I'm more than and I will find myself rooting for certain teams along the way. But I think for me personally, more than rooting for a specific team, it's for just dogfights. Physical, stressful dogfights. How about the Bills get after? Hey, Bosa, why don't you put a couple hits on Burrow and Trey Hendrickson? Get out your butt out there and maybe take a couple hits on Josh Allen or whoever it may be. Just beat the snot out of each other. Like you said, the Texans and the Chiefs beat the snot out of each other.
Just kick the crap out of each other. One team that like just root for full Thunderdome. Let's hope the Steelers and the Ravens is like it used to be. 3 hours of just human car accidents. Two teams enter, one team leaves, the other team bleeds.
617-779-7937. Will you be rooting for some of the perceived enemies of the Patriots as you watch the scoreboard in the coming weeks to help the Patriots solidify their playoff positioning or soften everybody up for the postseason run? 617-779-7937. Drake May, the quarterback of the New England Patriots, also the front runner for the MVP award, is scheduled to join us about 5 minutes from now. Stick around for that. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Boomer Esiason joins the Greg Hill Show Mondays at 8. Now, here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. The Patriots won their 10th straight game last night, defeating the New York Giants at Gillette Stadium by a score of 33-15. Drake May finished the day 24 of 31 with 282 passing yards and two touchdowns. May joins Hall of Famer Dan Marino as the only quarterbacks to win 10 straight games with an 80 or better passer rating in a single season prior to the age of 24. New England enters their bye week with an 11-2 record, the best in the NFL. The Bruins visit the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Boston beat Detroit 3-2 in a shootout at TD Garden over the weekend. The Celtics host the New York Knicks tonight at TD Garden. Tip-off is at 8 p.m. Nemish Keita and Derek White are both probable for tonight's contest. The duo missed the Celtics' most recent game against Cleveland. Meanwhile, OG Anunoby has been ruled out by the Knicks for tonight's contest. Boston College will bring back head coach Bill O'Brien for a third season and increase its financial investment in football. Athletic director Blake James announced earlier today. Your holiday plans just got tastier at the 99 Restaurant. Picture this: creamy, dreamy new lobster carbonara or satisfying new baked stuffed shrimp and lobster casserole. Celebrate big at the 99. You gotta love the nines. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Nah, I just appreciate how they came out and they were aggressive. It'd been a while since we played. It just was a long week, and we talked about attacking and aggressive. Just saying, hey, if they're going to run a quarterback or if they're going to run a gadget play, it's hard to scheme these gadget plays up. And sometimes the best answer is violence, and some of those guys chose that, and that was good to see.
Coach, I was told in school that violence was never the answer. Mike Vrabel on the Greg Hill Show this morning. Mike Vrabel joins the Greg Hill Show every Patriots Monday, even on a Tuesday, throughout the year. Brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank, the leading financial option for New England businesses and the families that power them. Northeastern Savings Bank, upgrade to local, member DIF, FDIC. Fitzy, did you like the violence that was chosen last night?
I sure did. It felt like old-fashioned football again. People hitting other people real hard when they least expect it. Glad it was. All I can say is glad it wasn't me out there. But yeah, the Pats, not only did they have an edge that they're going to need going forward, they look like they wanted to prove a point to people that they were not SAWFT soft, but also that they were not just a product of their schedule. That if they need to be the more physical team, and I think they anticipated it from the Giants. I think they thought the Giants were going to come in and try to push them around the yard. Like, oh, you guys are 10-2. You think you're so great, huh? How do you like this? And the Patriots took the fight to them first, and it caught the viewing audience at large and the Giants off guard, and I loved it.
Yeah, they went with the whole theory, you know, they threw the first punch and the last punch. You ever have like a parent or an uncle tell you, you know, don't throw the first punch, but make sure you always throw the last punch if they start flying. Patriots actually did a new spin on that. They threw the first punch, the second punch, the third punch, and the final punch, and then the Giants went home. So it was nice, Dan Ball.
So I thought the word choice was kind of interesting a couple times, where in the post-game locker room breakdown that they shared, he mentioned that, you know, thank you for choosing to be aggressive, or something to that effect. And then with Greg, he says they chose violence. So my question to you guys is kind of a chicken or the egg thing. Did the Patriots just within themselves choose to be aggressive, or Andy, something that you kind of alluded to when we were shooting back and forth, were they challenged by the coaching staff to be more aggressive today or yesterday?
I'm glad that Ted's not here, because this may sound disrespectful to football players, and he was a 10-year football player. I think football players are easily brainwashed and are often brainwashed by their head coaches, and I think this defensive football team, for whatever reason and whatever way, was brainwashed by somebody this week into believing the Giants said you're soft, as Fitzy said, SAWTFT, or they're going to come beat you up, they're the tougher team. Yeah, you got the better record, but they're the tougher. Something was said repetitively this week that got in their heads, and they're like one of those movies, you know, like Bucky in Captain America, when he's trained to be the assassin, and like a certain word or a certain
Winter
thing.
Winter Soldier, yeah.
Well, they were the Winter Soldier. They were black. They were brainwashed, and then the word was said sometime early at Gillette Stadium, and Jackson Dart and company paid the price with Christian Ellis and the rest.
Or just like, remember back in A Christmas Story when Ralphie keeps getting teased by Scott Fargus all those times, and then he goes, "Way, are you going to cry?" And then just absolutely went blank house on him and beat him to a pulp. That's kind of like...
The difference here is, I don't know, like, were the Patriots punked? When were they punked? Like, I don't feel like they've been bullied.
You don't think it had punked. You don't think it had anything to do? Because I asked Ted about this last week, and he was like, no, we would never listen to that outside noise. Anything to do with the fool's gold and the ESPN thing going on?
No, I don't. No? Because I'd like to think they're not giving Cam Newton that power or that credit. Like, he's just the clown on TV saying dumb stuff.
But they're all on social media, so you see it. No,
or
I know.
What if, or what if Christian Ellis's somebody got Christian Ellis's DoorDash wrong, and he was just in a mood last night, and he took it out on it Jackson Dart?
But I don't think it was just him. Like, even that initial hit that didn't lead to anything looked worse than it was by Harold Landry when Jackson Dart had the late slide, and he kind of dove over the top of him and made contact with his chest plate. Like, I think there were guys flying around. I think there were guys trying to prove a point. And this reminded me, actually, going way back to the Mike Vrabel era as a player, the Patriots in the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers were told all week that the Panthers were the more physical team. The Panthers' DBs are better than you. They just beat the hell out of
Rucker,
the Rams.
And Jenkins and
the
Peppers.
Whole thing. And what did you see? You saw the physical wide receivers scoring touchdowns, flexing in the end zone. David Givens with his foot on the ball, flexing. They were brainwashed all week into they were in a lather by the time game time came. This reminded me a little bit of that. I think there were some buttons that were pushed on the defense and with Christian Ellis and company, and they responded. And I would also say that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They put a seed in the minds of future opponents, future quarterbacks. There are going to be quarterbacks that they face in the coming weeks that may remember that play against Jackson Dart.
Like Lamar, we'll say.
Yeah, let's say Lamar is like 6 yards from the first down marker. It's a key play. And he's like, I could try to stretch this out to a first down, or I could choose.
I'll make a third and two.
Yeah, he won't choose violence. He'll choose personal safety and just go right out of bounds. So, you know, we talk about that a lot with Ted with trick plays or different things. You put them on tape and see how people react and see, you know, give them something to practice and plan for. I think there are some players that watch that game that could face the Patriots in the coming weeks in the regular season or postseason that are like, oh, they're the team that really they'll come at you, and they're not afraid to come at you high. So you might want to have your head on a swivel. You might want to get a guardian cap when you play this team, whether it's dirty or not. I'll leave that up to other people to decide. I don't think so. Like, I don't believe Christian Ellis's hit on Gunnar Olszewski was dirty. I think it was.
He did not mean to. He was just like Olszewski was running straight up, right? Ellis came in not expecting him to be where he was like that. But damn, did he pop him, literally knocked the paint off of his helmet. Here's another one for you. You know, obviously you're going to gain some confidence in Ben Brown and Vidarian Lowe being where they should be, which is as swing tackles, guards, reserves, center, etc. And now you'll have more confidence if you need to use them or call them in as an extra lineman, fullback, tight end, etc. But as far as the defensive linemen go, I feel like Jeremiah Farms and Corey Durden might actually be like building up enough confidence in their coaching staff. You heard Vrabel last night, like, oh, the New York Giants didn't think Corey Durden was good enough for their football team. The New England Patriots did. And they're 2-11 and you guys are 11-2. So nice job, coach. You think these guys are maybe like, hey, let me give Barmore or Milton Williams a spell real quick here. Or Tonga. Like, I think they might be getting a couple, like playing their way into the rotation a little bit.
Yeah, the run defense wasn't great last night. If you were going to pick some of the things that weren't, you know, the Giants did run the ball 27 times for 111 yards, and that included
four yards a carry.
And it's a little better than that because that also includes the 13-yard loss, I believe, on the field goal in there and some other things. I mean, Tracy had 10 for 36, which is only 3.6. Singletary had the 68 yards on 12 carries, a 22-yard long. But remember, no Milton Williams, no Tonga yesterday. That's why if you were watching, you're like, is that Durden again? Is that Gregory? Like, all these guys were out there getting a lot of rotational reps, and I think that helps you. That's building the depth for down the line. And not that you want them out there over Tonga or over Williams when he's back on the field, but it does give you confidence. It gives you options. It gives them confidence. And you're right, Fitzy. I think, again, that was Vrabel pushing some buttons and playing some mind games with those comments post-game. Yeah, the 2-11 team didn't want you, Durden, but the 11-2 team, oh, we wanted you. Not only did we want you, we knew we'd play you. We knew we'd need you. We knew you'd get reps, and they'd be important reps down the road. So there were more mind games
last night too,
and he should be. Dan Ball.
So give me how you feel an out of 10 ranking, or however you want to rank it, on the Patriots' depth, which has been a big question for us, especially coming into this week. Andy, starting with you, just after what you saw last night, I'm assuming it's better than it was going into last night.
Yes, I feel better about the depth. The real depth concerns for me are in the back end. of the defense. I'm feeling better about the front depth as my guy Elijah Ponder continues to step up and
got a sack at the end of the game, right?
Yes, he did.
How about
it? So you've added Ponder, you've added Durden and Gregory and guys that are not embarrassing themselves out there. At the second level, Christian Ellis, Gibby, Tavai is back with Spillane. You've added some depth at the second level. Then I get to the secondary and I look at it and I go, boy, you know what I really would like to see for the rest of the season? Christian Gonzalez, Carlton Davis, and Marcus Jones. Speaking of Marcus Jones, we'll talk to him shortly as well here on a Patriots Monday. But I'm questioning now less of the depth up front at linebacker or the defensive line. Now I would say depth. I feel like a 7. Is that the 1 to 10 confidence rating? I have like a 7. And the bulk of the questions are because I'm not sure there's any depth in the back end.
Yeah, that's the same number for me. Actually, I would say it's a Castiglione 7. I feel better about it now because I've seen it in the field. Like, I've seen some of these guys step up. In fact, I was thinking of paying
7!
Thank you very much, Stanley. I wanted to tip my cap to Cowden and Wolf and Vrabel and Stretch and everyone that was involved in building the roster, because while you do not have the marquee-level talent, you don't have the over $200 million in guaranteed salaries as depth players, rather as starters with Milton Williams and Morgan Moses and Robert Spillane. Some of these Ellis's and Gibbons and Lowe's and Browns and Durden's, look, they're not going to get you to the Super Bowl, but they're also not going to be the bleep that gets you beat either. Like, they're filling in admirably when they're being called upon and getting the job done. And fortunately, you also don't have to play the Bills when as many guys are out.
Fitzy Black 88. No, that is not a play call for the QB Under the Tree giveaway. Reminder, that's about an hour away. Another chance to win a signed Patriots quarterback football from Under Our Tree here in studio. But Black 88 is when I'm audibling. We got a little update on the schedule with our guests. Marcus Jones should join us in the next few minutes, the man who's the best punt returner in NFL history. Drake May is now scheduled for top of the hour, 4 o'clock. We should be talking to Drake May. Yes, the MVP candidate. Let's mix in a couple phone calls before we get to Marcus Jones. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Randy in Providence. What's up, Randy?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey. You were asking what our hopes were for the playoffs, and I don't know if I'm alone on this, but I kind of hope either the Chiefs or Bills make their way in, and we've got to go through at least one of those guys, because I just think you kind of can't be the man until you beat the man, and it would feel a little like, I don't know, just disingenuous, like kind of dodging past them. You know, if you're at the end of the day talking about you beat Bo Nix, like, who cares? Beat Mahomes, beat Allen.
All right, thanks for the call, Randy. I could not disagree more. You know the phrase, it don't mean a thing if you ain't got the ring? I think the inverse is true. If you got the ring, all the rest don't mean a thing. Nobody looks back and goes, oh, well, there was a soft ring. Oh, the Celtics are a perfect example. Do the Celtics not get that title because everybody they played was, like, without their best player or
Well, the perfect one is the Raptors a few years prior. Like, does Kawhi Leonard's championship with Van Vliet and company in Toronto not count because it was basically Steph Curry and a bunch of injured dudes? Like,
no.
You know, blank happens. They won. They played the team in front of them with the health they had. They won. They got a championship. That's that.
History is written by winners. And winners are the ones that win the final game and win a ring and go on and get put in the record books. And quickly we forget the other also-rans and the competition and all that. So if you tell me Mike Vrabel and Drake May win a ring, I don't care if they beat, you know, Dartmouth High School, UNH, or anybody else along the way. They get a Super Bowl championship ring. 617-779-7937. Let's go to Pete in the car. What's up, Pete?
Happy Victory Tuesday.
How we doing?
Indeedly-do. What's up, buddy?
Doing great. So you guys were wondering about Vrabel and, you know, the way that the Pats came out. Of course he pushed buttons. The gold and the fool's gold was the gift that gave Vrabel to go and needle these guys. Say they don't think you're that good. They don't think that you've earned any of this. They think you're a fake team. I think he had those guys ready for a primetime TV match, whipped up into a frenzy to just go send a message to the rest of the league that actually we're pretty good. And you better start taking us seriously, because if you don't, you're going to get the Jackson Dart on the sideline treatment from Luther Ellis. So, yeah, I think absolutely Vrabel. Look at Vrabel. I mean, that's him in a nutshell. That guy's a get under your skin, poke, prod, you know, kind of a guy who's tough. And I think his team absolutely responds to him 100%, and he wound them up and let them go.
Thanks for the call, Pete. I agree. I think something was said, done, whether it was the Cam Newton fool's gold or any of that. It's another example of why Mike Vrabel could be and probably should be the coach of the year. Mm-hmm. It's not just the victories and the numbers and the stats. Every button he pushes, every string that he pulls seems to work out for Mike Vrabel. And this is another example. And it's also, I heard, who was talking about it? Tom Curran? I don't know. I want to give somebody credit. I don't remember who. Sorry. There's also maybe something to the effect they know they have a bye week. So, like, if you've been a little bit dragging or you've been a little bit managing your fatigue and your body and your soreness and Thursday night and this, well, now you got a week off. So now it's like I can go full bore and get as many massages or cold tubs in the next basically 2 weeks before you play again. Maybe that played a role into it as well, Fitzy.
It could very well, because now you know you get to take the extra time to do the things to get your head right and your body right. And like you can play all out last night and then take some extra time, you know, within reason, knowing full well that you can get yourself ready for what's going to be, I think, inarguably their most physical three-game stretch as you go against Buffalo, the Ravens, and even the Jets before you turn the calendar to the new year.
Yeah, defensively, I will say last night was a game against a team that, remember, their offense under Jackson Dart has not been terrible. Even though they are without Scadaboo and they're without Neighbors.
They looked a little better, though. I got to say, they did look a little better with Jameis. Like I don't know. Jameis is Jameis.
It's like you're going to get what you're going to get. So,
it's a show. I love it.
Yeah. Four touchdowns, you know, four in the column, and it's like, is the four going in the pick column, or is the four going in the touchdown column? Or
what if it goes into both?
Or it could go into both as you end with 30-30 type seasons. So, I just, they're not a totally inept offense, even though their head coach and offensive play caller looks inept with the way he wears his hat and his headset and everything he was on the sideline and maybe made some curious decisions along the way. But defensively, again, I think this is another layer to, because for so long the Patriots had lived off of, I felt like, a couple things defensively. It was run defense is dominant, right? Mm-hmm. Best since 1960, this, that, whatever. That's kind of started to chip away, and maybe we don't want to hear that. And you had Christian Gonzalez and the back end. Like, they got a really good cornerback tandem. The pass rush is questionable, and they lived off that for a while. Now, as the run defense wavers a little bit, did they add like a layer of maybe they're just physical bad SOBs? Do we need to consider that part of their defensive makeup? I think they put some things on tape that are worth considering.
Yes, I think there's a lot last night that they did. There's already plenty on tape that other teams are going to have to worry about as far as Drake May and the McDaniels offense goes. Like, even, you know, nerds like me, I've watched some film breakdowns as to how good the play calls are and how different the offense is this year with Josh and why Hunter Henry gets open on so many plays and what a genius he is schematically. Well, there's that to consider. But then there's also the whole, like, oh, if I turn my head, somebody on the other team who doesn't necessarily look like, you know, isn't built like DK Metcalf or isn't built like Vernon Golston may try to take my head off just because they play with the edge, the swagger, and the attitude that Mike Vrabel has taught them. Like, the violence from last night's game cannot be overlooked, nor should it be understated.
And it also shouldn't be overlooked that it's allowed violence. Like, you know, we joke about, like, the different era of football and maybe things are, like, so many areas kind of coming back around. It was allowed. Like, it never cost you. There was no in fact, the play in question, the Christian Ellis play down the sideline, the Giants were penalized for Theo Johnson defending his quarterback. I also think everybody on the Giants probably says, I'm fine with that. Like, I would do that too, defend your quarterback. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, totally cool. I mean, I won't say cool, totally understandable for their guys to step in for their QB.
The Patriots had three penalties on the night. One of them was a violent headshot penalty. I think it was Hawkins in the back end on the aforementioned Theo Johnson. Knocked the ball away, but did get the 15-yard penalty for lowering his helmet, which was deserved. But I thought last night's game was officiated pretty leniently in terms of physicality. Maybe it's because everybody was talking about the head referee was sick. Maybe he just wanted to get home, and he's like, you know, the more flags I use, the more times I have to go on the
microphone.
Oh, was
he really?
I
had not heard anything about the lead. Was it Hockley?
No, it was, I don't even know. But his voice cracked on one of the first announcements of the night. You could hear his voice was not good. So maybe he had done a lot of radio. Maybe he had done a pregame show, a postgame show, a post-postgame show. Maybe that
maybe
was his
podcast, issue. Postgame show, afternoon show, preview show, prediction. Yeah, all that.
But that was that's a style of football. If that's the way the Patriots are going to play defensively, I like. And I think more importantly, their head coach likes. I think that is a little bit of a throwback physicality. You know, he played for defenses that beat up the Colts, that beat up the Panthers, that were able to win with their physicality. And we go to the guest line now on a Patriots Monday here on a Tuesday to talk to Marcus Jones, the star of the night in the Monday Night Football win over the New York Giants. Mr. Jones, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We are great. We enjoyed a really fun game last night where you guys not only came out victorious, but all three phases were contributing. There was physicality. There were big plays in multiple phases. But let's get to you. I want to be the first, at least publicly, to congratulate you that now that you have 75 punt returns, you are officially the best punt returner in the history of the NFL. So it's a pleasure to interview this week with you, the best punt returner ever. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. First off, you know, it's crazy to even, you know, be in a conversation with some of those guys before me, man. You know, I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I was like, it's crazy because I remember the time whenever my dad used to literally throw the ball in the air and tell me to track it and everything. And, you know, to see it go this far has definitely been a blessing, man. Just keeping my head down and kind of going from there. But, you know, of course, the situation of, you know, 75 returns, man, I got to commend every person that's been, you know, able to set up those blocks and everything like that for me, man. I honestly mean it. Anytime that I'm making plays out there, I feel as though that we're all doing it because it's the preparation and everything like that that the guys that's blocking for me do, and I just try to make them right, honestly.
Jeez, Marcus, a pick six last week on the road in Cincinnati, a punt return six at home for your fans in a big Monday Night Football game before the bye week. What do you have in store for the fans after the bye week? And do you want to let us in on any secrets?
I would say the main thing is, you know, trying to go 1-0. Of course, you know, we're going to go ahead and, you know, take advantage of this bye week, you know, get the rest that we need, take care of our bodies and everything like that. But then after that, whenever we do get back, we'll focus on Buffalo. But the main thing is to get the W. So I don't know what it takes or whatever it is and everything like that. But, you know, we definitely got
to
get the W.
Getting back to your return from last night, I think last week we talked to you and you talked about the first part of your job is good decision making, right? Making good decisions. They're getting good air time. They're getting directions, whatever. The old school mentality was you put your heels on the 10 and if it goes over your head, you let it go, right? Well, last night you caught the ball, I guess, at about the 6-yard line. You had a 94-yard punt. Why was it a good decision to return that punt?
Yeah, I would say first off, you know, it comes down to trust and making the right decision. You know, Braves and everyone on the coaching staff kind of has a lot of confidence in me to where, you know, if I do return the ball during that time, you know, I have space to work with and everything. And I'm always trying to put the offense in a great field position and things like that. I had a little space to work with. So I felt as though, you know, I can, you know, catch the ball and get away from the situation of having it within the 15-yard line or 20-yard line, you know. So I felt like I could put our offense in a good position and then kind of go from there. But, you know, it's one of those situations you got to know when to do it and when not to do it, you know. So it's playing, you know, playing a smart game.
So last week on our station's airwaves, after you had scored the pick six against the Bengals, Mike Vrabel said to our morning radio show, something along the lines of, yeah, we got to get Marcus going again, got to get him another six, and then look at you manifesting it into existence the very next game as well. So that in itself is kind of mystical and also very impressive. And I also wanted to ask, when on the return did you know, like, yeah, this one's not going 20 or 30, this one's going to the house?
Marcus?
Yeah, hold on one sec. I'm not sure what happened there.
Oh, Marcus is having some phone issues.
We got you, Marcus.
You still got us, Marcus?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, so when did you know it was gone?
I would say, you know, whenever I got to the punter, the main thing was like, don't get tackled by the punter, because I know I let my teammates down the other time versus Carolina, you know, so I would definitely think about that situation. But as soon as he tried to hit me high, I was like, man, I could definitely go to distance and everything like that. So I was definitely excited for my teammates and everything, because basically I was untouched until, you know, getting to the punter. So, you know, those guys, I just try to make them right, I can honestly say, set up the blocks and everything, and then kind of go from there.
You mentioned you were preparing for this job since you were a little kid with your dad. So I'm assuming you watched some guys as a young kid. I don't know if we've ever asked you, who are some of your mentors or guys that you liked watching in growing up as punt returners? Who are some of the best guys?
Yeah, I would say definitely Devin Hester was one of them. You know, we used to watch, you know, highlights and everything like that of Devin Hester. D Hall as well, man, being back there and everything like that. It's a whole bunch of guys. You know, I actually did see Troy Brown a couple of times, but whenever I got here, you know, we watched way more film, and you had a lot of respect and everything like that. And I do, and I've seen him before the game and everything like that. And our relationship is great as well. So it's a lot of different people and everything for sure.
On the defensive side of things, Marcus, that was, I think I can say comfortably, that was easily the most physical, the most violent, the most aggressive I'd seen, any of us had seen you guys play all season long. Was there something that was said in the week leading up to it, maybe a challenge issued by your coaching staff to go out there and take the fight to the Giants and prove a point last night?
I would say, you know, our main thing was playing our style of football. You know, we talked about trying to, you know, start fast. You know, we've had situation of difficulty of, you know, not starting as fast as we would like. So we were like, man, we need to start fast and then just take advantage of every opportunity we get. You know, let's make plays. Let's play as a full unit, as a defense and everything, and then get the ball back and try to get big returns on the return game and then get the ball back to 10. That was our main thing.
Patriots cornerback, punt returner Marcus Jones here on a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday on WEEI Afternoons. Obviously, there was that massive hit down the sideline by Christian Ellis on Jackson Dart as he was still in bounds. It was a legal hit. Do you guys feed off those? Does a big hit lead to more big hits, more physical play, more energy on a defense?
I would say for sure. You know, we're always trying to make plays on the ball and everything like that. And, you know, just make plays at the end of the day. You know, when it comes down to defense, you know, if you want to be a top defense, you got to have physicality at the top of the list. You know what I mean? And toughness and effort, you know. First off, it was the situation of the effort of even Ellis running all the way down the field and everything across the field to even get to the quarterback is the thing that, you know, might be overlooked. But he ran all the way across the field and everything like that. And it was a legal hit because he was in bounds, you know, and things like that. So our thing is, you know, to just try to be physical between the lines.
Yeah, Marcus, I had read something that Harold Landry had said to one of the reporters, Mike Reese of ESPN, that the locker room is pretty special and that the vibes are better than we've even heard about, and that the fellowship and the camaraderie amongst you guys is off the charts, so much so that it makes you actually all want to hang around together more, not just practice and play together. And I'm just curious, what is it in specific you believe you add to that locker room and the chemistry that is working for these Patriots?
I would say, you know, leading by example, you know, doing the things on the field that you need to do. And then also, you know, relationship-based. I'm a big relationship person when it comes down to it. I like to check in on guys, make sure they're doing good off the field or, you know, doing good mentally as well, because I want them to be in the right headspace when it comes down to being in the building and then also playing the game that you love. So, you ask any of the guys, I'm always checking in, making sure they're good and everything. And then also, I love seeing the excitement from everyone. You know, whenever you do make plays, man, we need to, you know, celebrate together and then go make plays more and more and more. You know, so that's the main thing I would say.
Marcus, what was the environment like last night? Monday Night Football, Gillette Stadium. I know there was fancy lights in the crowds early, an anthem. What was the environment like?
Yeah, the environment, man, was undeniable. Like it was great. The fans were loud, man. They were making it hard for the opposing teams, you know, the Giants and everything. And it was just nice off the fact of, you know, playing back in Foxborough. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, we have the best fan base in my opinion. And then also, you know, it's freezing out there and we got the stadium basically packed. So we love to see those things. And whenever the offense make plays, you know, they're loud and everything. Whenever the defense make plays, they're loud as well. So feeding off their energy at home is great.
What does it mean to you that the next time you take the field in Foxborough, Sunday, December 14th, against the Buffalo Bills, you and your teammates could well be playing for your first AFC East championship?
Yeah, our thing is, like, at the end of the day, after we come back from the bye week, like, Buffalo is the main, the most important thing, focusing on them. You know, I understand the situation of knowing those things and stuff, but our thing is always, you know, playing by our identity. So not looking into it for the situation of, like, all of those things, but, you know, the most important game is the next. So whenever we get down to it, we're going to prepare as we need to and then take advantage of the opportunity that we get.
Before we let you go, without getting too personal, what are the plans for the bye week? Are you a get-away-from-football guy? Are you a guy that still hangs around the facility, works out, takes care of your body? How do you handle the time off?
I'm going to spend time with some family and everything like that and get to spend some time with my son. So I'm going to take advantage of that and everything. And, of course, you know, make sure my body's all good and stuff. But that's the main thing, man, spend time with my loved ones.
You're gonna be lobbing some balls up to him, get him to track footballs for some punts down the road sometime?
In due time. Not right now, but in due time. You know, if he wants to do it, then we could definitely make that happen.
Maybe swing by the mall, get a photo with Santa Claus, get a head start on all that Christmas shopping and stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely need to do that for sure.
All right, Marcus, congratulations on the punt return for the touchdown. Congratulations on the win, the yards per carry average, the whole thing. It's been a quite a year for you, and we are enjoying each and every week kind of taking part with the season you're having. Good luck during the bye week, and we'll talk to you down the road.
For sure. Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Marcus. That's Marcus Jones, Patriots punt returner, captain, defensive back, jack of all trades, all pro, best of all time, GOAT, whatever the
leader,
hell you want to call
it. Leader, dad, vibes. He's that got it all going on, man. It's, watch out.
Good to be Marcus Jones these days. Good to be the Patriots here on a Patriots Monday, a Victory Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll react to a couple of the comments from maybe the greatest punt returner in certainly Patriots history, but NFL history. That's next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI. Back here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday, right to the guest line for the quarterback, Drake May. Drake May on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health with 6 New England offices, or at northeastmenshealth.com. By Windward Mental Health, start your healing journey now at windwardmentalhealth.com. And by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Drake May, how are we doing this week?
Going on, looking forward to getting off the phone and enjoy the bye week. No offense, but
I'll say none taken, even if there might be a little taken. Anyway, great win last night on Monday Night Football. Did you feel like that might have been your most complete game of the year as a team with all the contributions in the kicking game, offense, defense?
Yeah, I was proud of the guys. I felt like all three phases showed up, and it was good to get a win on Monday night and look forward to the bye week.
Drake, I'm curious. Have you ever been hit or tuned up as hard as Jackson Dart was by Christian Ellis last night? Because that hit was loud.
Yeah, I mean, Ellis got him pretty good. I'm not sure if I've gotten hit that hard, but I got hit a couple times last year doing surprise, running when I should have gotten down. So,
Drake, last night was a chilly game, obviously. You were out there in no sleeves, no gloves. Is that just who you're going to be, what you're going to be? Was that trying to make a statement? I know sometimes there's linemen that think it sends a statement if they don't wear sleeves. Was there anything there?
Well, I don't think it's a statement. Just, if I feel good in the weather to not wear sleeves, I'm going to try not to wear sleeves as much as I can to wear my usual uniform.
You know, Drake, fans tell us they love how together you guys play. And, Harold Landry even talked to the media about what a great fraternity it is, what a great locker room it is. What do you think is at the core of this team's togetherness and fraternity right now?
I think guys that genuinely care about each other. They care about each other off the field. We hang out outside of football. Our families hang out. Kids are always walking around, hanging around the team. And I think just, like I said, we care about each other. We want to play for each other. We want to win together.
Patriots quarterback Drake May here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. I know you had said you were looking forward to playing on Monday Night Football. What was the environment like last night at Gillette Stadium, the fans and the action?
Yeah, I think that's Gillette Stadium. Cold weather, night game, fans are into it, wearing the throwbacks, and good to give them something to cheer for and get a win.
So how do you feel like the week went, Drake, with all the different line substitutions? Obviously, I know you get a chance to practice with and be around guys like Vedarian and Ben Brown, and Garrett Bradbury was questionable leading up to the game. Seemed like the operation was pretty seamless last night. Must have been a good week of practice.
Yeah, I think those guys got a lot of reps last year. Velo, Ben Brown, I got full faith in those guys. I told them all week, we had a lot of reps last year, and I trust them, and you got full faith in them. I think they showed out, and just shows the next man up mentality that we got.
Drake, I wanted to give you a minute. I know it's been my cleats, my cause across the NFL over the last couple of weeks, and I know you partnered with Special Olympics. How did that partnership come about? Why did you go down that road with the Special Olympics?
Yeah, Special Olympics has been a thing that I've really cared about. I think it's really special with athletes that don't get the spotlight that we do, that we can shine light on inclusion and know that their flag football games are awesome and we can support them, and know that just because they're facing a challenge in their life that they still can't play the same game and have the same joy we have. So it was awesome to show support and the My Cause, My Patriot, I think it's a great cause, especially mixing what they do.
One of your teammates on defense actually had two different colored shoes. One of them was yellow, and every time he ran around, I kept thinking that the refs were throwing a flag back there. It was kind of a little confusing to watch on TV. Your deep ball to Kyle Williams, where would you rank that one in terms of your best throws in a Patriots uniform?
I probably think that's one of the best catches I've seen. I think the catch is better than the throw. I probably made a tough run than it needed to be. He beat him off the line. I think the catch is better than the throw there.
Speaking of the crowd, what did you think of the MVP chants last night?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing every week, just trying to give him something to cheer for. And, I just try to worry about winning and take it one week at a time.
Do you happen to have, in terms of pregame rituals, do you have, a favorite book that you read from? Is there, something you like to recite to yourself, maybe a biblical passage that you get into so you can get your focus and preparation for a game?
I think chapel. I think going to chapel, the night before the morning of the night game, using our teammates. I think we got a strong group that's, really faith-driven, and I think we always pray in the locker room and do all those things. So, nothing specific. I listen to to Christian music on the way in on home game, so that counts.
Drake, did you see anything on the practice field this week that led you to believe that your defense was going to come out sort of frothing at the mouth, and with the physicality they did, they seemed like caged dogs that were ready to explode on the Giants?
Yeah, I just think it's just, you know, kind of the mentality we want to bring. We're trying to build an identity, and I think we're building it, and we're on the way towards, you know, bringing it every week. And they, the defense is a prime example of how we want to play, and the physical football and the brand of football we want to play.
Right after the game, Coach Vrabel did his podium media gathering, and he said I think the phrasing was he really appreciated having you on this team. So I just wanted to ask you in return, what is the most important thing Mike Vrabel has taught you as a man outside of football?
I think just battling back from adversity, whether it's in life, you know, on the field, just bouncing back in the next, you know, moment in life, the next play on the field, and just being, being able to, you know, be myself. I think that's one of the biggest things he's big on, being himself and not changing for anybody.
All right, Drake, it's time for the quarterback question of the week. The quarterback question of the week is brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, the experts in treating men's sexual health, with 6 New England offices or at northeastmenshealth.com. You mentioned it. You're excited to get to the bye week and stop talking to us. So what do you have planned for the bye week?
Yeah, nothing much. Probably rest up, hang with some teammates, and it'll be good to, get some time off and watch some football.
All right, Drake, enjoy the bye. Get some time off, get healthy, get ready for the Bills, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys. Go fast.
Patriots quarterback Drake May, very excited to get off the phone with us and get into the bye week. Fitzy, he was looking to get some rest and relaxation and not play footsies with us on the radio, apparently, today.
Wow. Sorry to bother him, boys.
Yeah, want to... And enjoy phoners with 2 knuckleheads in the studio in Brighton after a huge win. May or may not.
Yeah, that was a may not, which is why we decided to forego the may or may not this week. Hopefully we can bring that back after the bye. Maybe he'll be rested and relaxed. 617-779.
Should we play it with each other instead?
Maybe we could do that. Let's do that. When we come back, Fitzy and Hart will throw the may or may not questions at each other so we can have some fun. We prepared. They're in the document. Damn it. We're going to use everything we prepared for. So may or may not, without Drake May, that's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.